This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
The Reverend Lisa Sykes currently serves as the Associate Pastor of Wellborn United Methodist Church in Richmond. She is a graduate of the University of Virginia, where she was an Eccles Scholar, 1987, and graduated from Princeton Theological Seminary in 1990. Her new book is Sacred Spark, a minister mom's quest to restore the light in her son's eyes, inspires her church to protect children from harm, and ignites a global debate about autism and childhood vaccines. A conversation I have really been looking forward to. The Reverend Lisa Sykes joins me on the long line. How are you, Lisa?
I'm well, Coy. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations on your book. We're going to be giving away a free copy here at the end of the conversation, so we want listeners to stay tuned. Let's start, if we can, Lisa, with just a Reverend Sykes 101, just a little bit about yourself and your background, and then we'll talk about the book.
Absolutely, Coy. Well, I'm a Virginia native. I grew up in Vienna, Virginia. And as you know and have said, I'm a graduate of UVA, enjoyed my time there in Charlottesville, got a seminary degree from Princeton, and came back to minister in the Virginia Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church. Got married in 1989 to a wonderful fellow from Scotland, and we have three sons, Adam, Wesley, and Joshua. And my middle son, Wesley, is really the focal point of the book that I have written.
Absolutely. Tell us Wesley's story and begin wherever you want in that story, but preferably when you first realized there might be an issue.
Surely, Coy. Wesley was born in 1996, and I am a person who hovers as a mother even before he was born. I was trying to make sure there was as little risk as possible. And so when my one-and-a-half, two-year-old child started showing signs of developmental problems, I was very concerned to try to find out how to treat them and how to help them. Wesley had seemed just a bounding little baby boy. He was 9 pounds, two at birth. And for the first year of his life, I really didn't have any concerns at all. And as I look back between his first birthday and maybe 1.5, there seemed to be subtle things. He got very interested in texture. There was a restaurant, the only restaurant we would go to, because it was the one restaurant he didn't cry in. And interestingly enough, there were lots of ceiling fans in this restaurant, and he would just stare at them in fascination. But if that wasn't there to distract him, he just cried inconsolably. And by the time he had hit his second birthday, we knew there were problems. We were beginning to see the loss of the few words that he had gained. He was becoming more and more unpredictable. Tantrums. He was only eating soft foods and looking sickly. His color was becoming a pallor. And it was just very hard to connect to him. It was almost like he didn't hear us.
We're talking with the Reverend Lisa Sykes. Her new book is Sacred Spark. And then, of course, like as with families like mine, came that day that you will absolutely never forget. If you're like me, you remember every moment of that experience when you were with some doctor somewhere and got a diagnosis of autism spectrum disorder.
That's right, Coy. For me, it was in August of 1998, and it was a psychologist who diagnosed Wesley. We walked into her office on a beautiful summer day, and everything should have been great. But I had this child, and something was wrong, and she watched him drumming his fingers on just about every surface in the room. And that's all she needed to see. She looked at me and said, "Lisa, he has autism." And at that point, I had a word. I had a diagnosis. And you know, Coy, your heart literally breaks inside you. To worry what is before your child and what challenges are before your entire family to hear a diagnosis like that. Soon after we got that diagnosis, I started going from pediatric neurologist to pediatric neurologist. And I still remember one, you know, you pay a tremendous sum to take your child to these specialists.
Yes.
And there I am, the reverend, in the examining room with my child. And the best advice this pediatric neurologist could give to me was that I should pray. Well, I was already doing that, but I needed something more. And interestingly enough, it was when I went to an Autism Society meeting here in Richmond, the Central Virginia chapter, and there was a little bit of a buzz in the room, and everybody was talking about this developmental pediatrician in Richmond who was suggesting that we should give our children with autism cod liver oil. And that, to me, sounded just ludicrous. But I listened, you know, understanding that there was some kind of theory behind this. And at the end of the meeting, I thought to myself, well, it's not dangerous, it's not expensive, and I've got nothing to lose. So I picked up a bottle of cod liver oil on the way home, and I stayed with the RDA, the recommended daily allowance, for 3 days. And a child that had seemed utterly deaf when I screamed his name at the top of my lungs, after 3 days on cod liver oil, I dared to just kind of whisper his name, just hoping that he might respond. And he was sitting down, and his head swung up, and he looked at me when I said, Wesley. And I thought, what does this pediatrician know that no one else has been able to tell me? And so I called her up at Children's Hospital, and she was then the head pediatrician here in Richmond at Children's Hospital. And I said, I'm not a patient. I apologize for calling you out of the blue, but I've got my son on cod liver oil. And she said, quick, you know, tell me, what are you seeing? And I started enunciating a list of responsiveness in my son, different instances when suddenly he seemed to be connecting with me again, and he hadn't been. And she was very excited, and we must have been on that phone for almost an hour. She wanted a family history. And as we began to talk, she kept in her mind ticking things off. She'd say, She said, as soon as I'm in my new office, Lisa, you know, founding my own practice, as soon as I'm in my new office, I want you to bring Wesley in to see me. And I was very eager. You know, I waited for that day so long until we could get in to see her in person. And it was the most astounding experience, Coy, because I walked into her office with Wesley, and my husband was with me, and she starts asking questions. And it was like she had a crystal ball. She wanted to know, who in the family had a malignancy? She wanted to know who in the family had irritable bowel syndrome. She wanted to know who in the family had night vision blindness. That was both my husband and myself. She wanted to know who had color blindness. That's my brother with red-green color blindness. And then there was this moment that just dumbfounded me. My father had been dead for many years. He died at a young age of leukemia. And she said, I bet, Lisa, I can tell you your father's favorite flavor of ice cream. And you can imagine, Corey, that's not the sort of question we expect when we go to specialists. Yeah. They can look into our history and tell us a very obscure detail about someone who's dead. And she said, I bet your dad's favorite flavor of ice cream was butter pecan. And I nearly fell out of my chair. And what I came to understand from Mary, it was a fat-soluble vitamin A issue. The same form of vitamin A in cod liver oil is found at very high levels in butter pecan ice cream. And if your gut is injured, if it has trouble absorbing water-soluble A, which is most of what we get these days in our diet, then you can't get vitamin A. You crave it, and the more absorbable, the easily absorbable, fat-soluble form of vitamin A is found in cod liver oil, is found in butter pecan ice cream, and these people, these persons who are deficient for vitamin A, crave it. So I started seeing a pattern in the generations, in the males in my family, and the thought was that my father had a very brilliant mind, a very weak gut, that somehow these two things were connected, and that just as he had craved the fat-soluble form of vitamin A in his life, so Wesley now, with a gut that we believe has been imperiled by vaccines and by the mercury vaccines, was craving vitamin A again, couldn't get it, and so the cod liver oil supplied that, and when you put the vitamin DNA back in the system, back in my son's body, he started to function better.
We're talking with the Reverend Lisa Sykes. The new book is Sacred Spark, about her son Wesley's struggle with autism. Lisa, looking back now on this journey that your family has been on and that is still on, what is it about vaccines? And I'm curious that when people say to you, oh, you know, that's been ruled out, the medical establishment has looked at that and said there's absolutely no connection. What is your response to those folks who, honestly, let's be honest, most of them haven't done the research that you have done?
Coy, I guess the greatest frustration I have as a parent, as an advocate, as a minister, is that there are crucial issues right now before our society and people don't have all the facts. And this, I feel, is the greatest issue of all because it affects our children, our future, the strength of our nation, and our economy. To say that mercury is out of vaccines and medicines is false. And if you don't believe me, then go down to any local medical office and ask to see the package insert for the flu shots in that office. I have seen many a time a physician that I've been conversing with surprised because they'll say to me, Lisa, it's all out, and they'll give me all sorts of different dates. It came out in 99, 2001, 2003, you know, 2005, 2006. Nobody knows what year because it didn't really happen. And you get them to go back and pull the vaccine out of the fridge and look at the package insert, and there it is, 25 micrograms of mercury per adult dose. And we have been giving flu shots to pregnant women, and we've been giving flu shots newborn babies, and we've now approved a schedule that has an annual flu shot for everyone up to age 18. If a person is mercury sensitive, and that's genetically determined, you either are or you aren't susceptible to mercury at low levels. If you are, you will have negative health results from that exposure. And so what we see in Wesley, the autism, as most folks refer to it, I understand that to be mercury poisoning. My son, we've done the genetics, is very susceptible to low levels of mercury. And those levels that pose a great danger are in our vaccine supply and also some of our eye ointments, eye drops, ear drops. And so if you're not an educated consumer, if you're not a well-read physician that looks beyond some of the press statements, some of the claims in the press, then you may not understand. Mercury is also in the tetanus shot, and it's in some of the meningitis shots, and it's in other non-standard immunizations for children and persons over the age of 2. And so you have to be a very educated consumer, Coy. Mercury has been reduced in some shots for children under 2, but then it's been added back in the flu shot to the ordinary immunization schedule.
Reverend Lisa Sykes, the new book is Sacred Spark. Lisa, before we let you go, share your thoughts about, just broadly speaking, this whole generation of very sick children that are all now, you know, in grade school, and let's be honest, the school systems are dealing with the brunt of this epidemic. But, you know, these kids are all going to be teenagers one day. They're all going to be in their 20s. We are looking at a huge bubble of very, very sick children now growing up here in America. What's your message to parents and teachers and people in government in this country regarding this epidemic?
Well, my first and most heartfelt message, Coy, is get the mercury out. Stop doing the damage. We need to protect our children. And if our Food and Drug Administration isn't going to make sure the vaccine supply and the drug supply are safe, then we as parents, especially of children, have to be very educated and safeguard our children. Right now, the rate of diagnosis of a behavioral or developmental disorder among children is 1 in 6, Coy. 1 in 6. When this generation grows up, you know, just imagine what that's going to do to the productivity and the brain trust of our society when one in six adults can't function normally, when one in every 150 children has autism, when one in every 70 male children has autism, and these children grow up and those individuals cannot make a contribution to society and must be cared for a lifetime. If you spend, I think it's now $3 more for a mercury-free vaccine now, you may save millions of dollars in a lifetime of care for a child that's been injured by that mercury had you not spent that $3.
The book is Sacred Spark, A Minister Mom's Quest to Restore the Light in Her Son's Eyes. The Reverend Lisa Sykes, the new author and a very brave, courageous, and brilliant mother, lives in Richmond. Lisa, it is a beautiful book. You did a very special thing here, and this is a gift to the world, and I'm just real proud to call you a friend.
Oh, Coy, it's my privilege, and I am very grateful for your help and honored to have your support. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.